It should be coming.
I prepared some slides to compensate for the fact that I'm a non-native speaker, so I need some visual support. But I'm not sure if it's good.
It's coming up. There you are.
There you are. Learners in a changing learning landscape. That's the topic, the opening of our discussion. And my reflections are reflections from an instructional design perspective, because I'm mainly active in this field of instructional design. I will not directly focus on online learning. And I will
move yourself to this side here and
okay. I will make clear why I do not focus this talk on online learning. In instructional design and instructional design research, we are really interested in finding instructional methods and media combinations that yield effective, efficient, and appealing learning. But the problem is that those methods, in a general sense, do not exist. You can only find methods that work for specific learners in particular circumstances to reach particular learning goals. That's what makes instructional design into an interesting field, I think. So when we look at instructional methods, when we study the research on instructional methods, it is always dealing with instructional methods that are applied to teach particular tasks or contents to be applied in particular context or to be applied for particular target groups. That's why we do a lot of analysis to find out what instruction is best for a given situation, given learner, a given context. Well, if we think about this changing learning landscape, I think it's important to relate this to the way how we develop instruction and look in the mirror if we as instructional designers are really responsive to the changes in this learning landscape. I think there are extremely important changes in what we are teaching. There are rapid changes in society, rapid changes in technology that makes it more and more important to teach our students flexible problem-solving skills, reasoning skills that allow them to deal with changes in their environment, changes in their job, and so forth. They need to develop professional competencies rather than static knowledge. Higher order skills and lifelong learning skills are also becoming more and more important. Because if we want to educate lifelong learners, they must be able to plan their own learning trajectories, to monitor their own progress, and so forth. All higher order skills that will not come out of the blue, but they need to be trained. Implications for instructional design. We see more and more instructional design models focusing on complex learning, complex skills, and higher order skills. And those models often take meaningful, rich tasks as the driving force for learning. Dave Mell gave an excellent overview of these kind of theories. And those meaningful tasks that drive learning are usually conducted in real or a simulated task environment. And then we talk about online learning. It's mainly online learning in a simulated task environment in which those rich learning tasks are performed by our students. Second, the context in which learning takes place is changing. Learning more and more takes place in a technology-rich environment, an environment that's also often informal. Or people learn more and more on the workplace in professional settings. 24 hours a day, they are connected to others through mobile phones, but also connected to large resources like the internet, using their PDAs, their laptops. In this environment, this new information society, we see that the idea of mass production is replaced by the idea of mass customization. And we see this in many fields, except education. Education is still using a mass production idea, old-fashioned factory model, using a cohort of students, assuming that this cohort is homogeneous and we can design instruction that's good for all of them. And I think this must change. Implications for instructional design. Well, one implication is that we must think more and more in terms of a rich media mix that we give to our students that allow them to work place and time independent, or to work partly place and time independent and partly face to face. And this whole idea of mass customization should be taken seriously, I think. So we should focus more and more on the needs and the interests and the expertise, the prior knowledge of individual learners, rather than a whole homogeneous target group. We must take heterogeneity serious and really put the learner in the center. Meta learners, the third thing we should pay attention to. Learners are also changed. Learning in school is still important, but learning in the rest of your life, the other 80%, is becoming more and more important. And lifelong learning has enormous implications, I think, for the field of instructional design. We will have to deal more and more with older learners. Well, I've had some students looking at instructional methods used for young learners in multimedia environments and older learners in multimedia learning environments. And you find that the methods that are effective for young learners are often ineffective for older learners, and vice versa. So age is a very important characteristic, and in a society in which lifelong learning is taken seriously, we must really take this into account. The same is true for expertise. The whole field of instructional design seems to be built on the idea that we are always or almost always teaching novices in the domain. But we will be teaching more and more people that already have a lot of experience in the domain, that already have high expertise. My own group, together with groups in Australia, have done a lot of research on what we call the expertise reversal effect in the context of cognitive load theory. And the expertise reversal effect is a very stable effect, showing that instructional methods that are effective for novice learners may be totally ineffective for high expertise learners. For instance, novice learners learn more from worked out examples and case studies than from solving the equivalent problems. And the opposite is true for high expertise learners, who learn more from solving the problems than from studying the worked out examples. Large differences in conceptions. When we look at groups of learners who are confronted with an educational innovation, some of those learners conceive this as contributing to their learning, while others may conceive it as hindering their learning. So learner conceptions and how they perceive learning is extremely important and should be taken into account when we do instructional design. Implication is, I think, that we need to reconsider much of the research that has been done in instructional design. It plays much more emphasis on individual learner characteristics. So far, almost the whole field of instructional design is based on research with college students who are pretty novice in the domain, who are young learners, and this will not generalize to lifelong learners. What about the online learner? I think this whole idea that we should focus on online learners is an old-fashioned approach, an old-fashioned instructional design approach, with a focus on an overly broad target group.
Again, we seem to assume that there is a homogeneous group of online learners from which we can develop instructional methods. I don't believe this. I think that in order to increase the flexibility of education and to be prepared for the information age, we need narrow casting and really focus on individual needs and interests rather than broadcasting, developing materials that are supposed to be good for large groups. Differences between individual lifelong learners and whether they are online or not are much larger, I think, than differences between online learners and traditional learners. Okay, to conclude, yes, I think the learning landscape is drastically changing, both if you look at the things we are teaching, when we look at the context in which teaching is taking place, and when we look at the learners. I think that mass individualization and really taking individual learners seriously is becoming very, very important. And in order to respond to this need, we really need a revival of good instructional design research. The field of instructional design, in my opinion, is still in the industrial age. And if we do not drastically change the field of instructional design, it will die, and I see little future for it. And I think that ambitious notions such as online learning and the online learner are not very, very helpful at this stage to inform the kind of research we need. Okay, I hope this is provocative enough.
Absolutely, I told you it would be provocative. So, no excuse. Thank you so much. And,